Hello.
Bonjour. Hi.
Welcome to Meet at the Hotel Bar. We are Freddie,
JC,
and Huss
from the band Floors, a three-piece indie pop band from London via Huddersfield.
So since we started touring with Floors, travelling the world, and during our previous lives as session musicians, we realised there are so many funny things that happen on and off stage, and so many stories that never get shared with the rest of the world. They just stay in the dressing rooms and the tour buses of the bands and artists you love.
Until now. In this podcast, we are lifting the lid on life on the road. And where better to meet up and tell those touring tales than a place every touring musician knows well, the trusty Hotel Bar.
So why the Hotel Bar?
Well, I feel like the Hotel Bar is like the place, it's the beginning of every story, it's the beginning of every night out. If you're on tour and you stay in the hotel, you know, you get there and you're like, oh, I'm just going to quickly freshen up, I'll meet you in the Hotel Bar in 15. It's that kind of thing, meet at the Hotel Bar.
So in today's conversation, we sit down with the truly unique John Rhino Edwards, aka my dad. He's best known for being the bassist in the rock group Status Quo, but has also toured with the likes of Dexys Midnight Runners, Kim Wilde, and Judy Zook, to name a few. We met up on a sunny Tuesday afternoon in a hotel in London, the day after he'd got back from a show in Bilbao. We'd also just like to add that while this episode might suggest otherwise, Rhino really isn't a violent person, and we don't condone fighting in any way.
Today, you'll hear stories about how he got his place in Status Quo, what got them into the Guinness World Records, the origin story of his nickname Rhino, and why Freddie ended up in a helicopter.
So this is Rhino from Status Quo coming up on Meet at the Hotel Bar.
What, are you flat on battery?
No, I think we're on two bars.
Two bars.
Two
bars.
Two bars. Come on, you bees.
What do you reckon? Do you reckon I do a little do a reset? Little.
Oh, bad luck in the playoffs, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Please welcome the legend that is John Edwards, a.k.a. Rhino, of
you,
Status
mate.
Quo.
Yep, thank you.
The first question is always, what do you want to drink?
Pint of lager shandy with cheap lager.
Nice. Just a cheap lager.
But what's the point? Once you put lemonade in it, I mean, it's wussy anyway, but that's, you know.
Right, should we get four of them?
That's fine.
Yeah, barman, can we have four of those, please?
Okay, right. So for those of you that don't know, today's guest also happens to be my dad.
Yeah,
I can't say I ever imagined that I'd be sat here interviewing...
It does look like the postman, but you know.
Classic. Well, actually, that goes into what I was about to say. I didn't imagine I'd be sat here interviewing you like this, but hopefully we're going to hear some stories I've never heard whilst keeping your dad jokes to a minimum. So you've already proven that point wrong. Go on to the question. So round one is all related to touring.
Yep.
You've seen a good chunk of the world from playing shows. What's your favourite city to play in?
Oh, it's a difficult question to start with. Well, I mean, I've just come back from Bilbao. We played there last Friday. And that's really, that's one of my favourite places. I have to say that I'm definitely European. All my favourite places to go to in the world are in Europe. America's all right. Australia is Australia. And I'm just the European. I like the fact that there's history everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, just come back from Bilbao. Just played in France, near Arras, which was a really big part of World War One. I'm not a culture vulture, but I like to get out and have a look at what's to offer. You know, it's I think it's really important.
Yeah. It certainly is important. It's something we've started to do a little bit more and get out and explore, not just see venue to venue. See a bit of the city that you're playing in, or explore a Christmas market. Who knows?
Oh yeah,
love a Christmas market.
Can't beat a Christmas market. A
little bit of Glühwein.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Don't mind if I do.
Glühwein mit amaretto. Am I right?
Hey, good German.
Multilingualist.
There.
Quattro of those, please, señor.
JC had a cool thing that I always thought was a good idea, which was to run to the. Was it the stadium that the city had?
Yeah. So every city. This is when I played with Ella. Every city that we played in, I would run to the nearest football stadium. I've got like an album on my phone of like all of like the stadiums, and I used to take a little selfie outside each one of them.
Nice.
And then run back. But then sometimes I used to like overdo it. So like I used to be like, oh yeah, I can run that. That's fine. And then like I remember, and then you get to the gig and you'd be like absolutely knackered. And you'd be like, I just ran like half a marathon today.
I went up Snowdon, you know, we were playing in Llandudno. And our old drummer was a mad keen mountaineer, and we were doing two nights in Llandudno, and on the day of the second show, he said, "Come on, we're going to go up Snowdon today, you and me." So we went up. We went up apparently the easy route, and it was great, you know. And I really had a fantastic time. And on the we came down, And I realised about an hour before we were due on that all I wanted to do was go to bed.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do anything else but just go to bed and go to sleep now. Yeah.
Can't you get like a little cart up Snowdon?
You get the train. I remember going up there with my son Max. The fit one.
I was
the one
there. Was
the fit one.
Yeah. Freddie, yeah, I mean, you know, physically. And Freddie was...
That's slightly suspect from my dad.
Yeah, Freddie met us at the top. And he'd gone up in the train. I've got all these pictures at the top of me and Max covered in sweat and Freddie there going, hey, guys. You know,
I'm now American.
It was nothing. Yeah. He did walk down, though, you know.
I had a broken toe in my defence and fresh trainers on, no doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's, you know, you just... But yeah, getting around. My favourite place, ooh, I think probably Berlin, actually. Yeah. I really like...
That's the second Berlin.
Yeah, I think it is the second.
I like it because it's scuzzy as well. I just like it's real Berlin. You know, you can get the tourist bits, but again, where my fit son Max used to live, in Kreuzberg, it was really multicultural. It was exciting. You know, I find Berlin a very exciting city. It's the only place I think I could live in Europe that wasn't in the UK.
Yeah, we love Berlin.
Yeah,
yeah,
you should.
Good beer as well.
Yeah, lots of.
Following on from the touring questions, what is your most memorable moment whilst on stage?
Well, I think it's probably when I was in Los Angeles with Status Quo, and it was really weird. They'd never had... We were playing the House of Blues in LA, and we got a phone call saying, we've never had so many Mexican people ringing up to get tickets, because we're quite big in some parts of Mexico. For what reason, I don't know, but we're massive in a couple of places. Anyway, they were all jumping up on stage, and it was really pissed off. And the security were doing nothing. And they were basically stage diving, and all their supporters were over the other side of the stage. So they're stage diving into their supporters, and all the English and the Americans were on my side of the stage. And this guy comes out and he starts, and I just ran up and bashed him in my shoulder, and he went flying like a starfish. And of course, he goes down. Instead of him landing in all his friends, it's like the part under the Red Sea, and he went floor like that. I thought I'd killed him.
R.I.P.
Yeah. And then I, about half a minute later, I looked down. Yeah, he was loving it. I mean, that was a funny moment.
That's crazy. I've never heard that one.
Yeah, and I've had a fight on stage when I was in Texas with Night Runners with this
bloke. As you can tell, he's quite a violent person.
Oh, really?
His memories are all around fights.
Oh, no, but the end of this, the LA thing was, I got a great email from a friend of mine afterwards who'd been in the gig. All it said was, and you didn't miss a beat. Because I, you know, really lamped him with my shoulder.
So was it someone from the crowd, or was it someone working there? Or
with Dixies, yeah. It was just some bloke. And it wasn't really a fight, I just punched him and threw him off.
Did he deserve it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No.
I just fancied it.
I've actually tried to hit people with my guitar before as well.
I don't think you're coming across that well.
I don't care. No, this is back in the day. This is about 3 weeks ago. You
one
know.
More thing, actually. Out of the gigs that we played together, do you have a favourite?
Yeah.
Which one?
Croatia.
Oh, yeah?
We were playing at a Pula Arena in Croatia, and I just looked over at him, and he's just giving it some, and I was just looking, I thought, that'll do me. Yeah, and also the one we played one in Cumbria when he was on tour with you guys.
Oh yeah,
yeah. After the interview in Leeds, Freddie jumped on a. Jumped go on, Fred. You tell the tell
yeah,
the story.
On, yeah, I was impressed.
So yeah, we were touring with an Australian band called Safia at the time. I think we'd done about two or three dates of the tour, and I got a panicked call from Dad asking if I would be prepared to step in for Rick, who was
that kind of had a heart attack.
Yeah, he just had a heart attack. But it meant that I had like one day, maybe two days to learn the set.
No rehearsal.
We just played in London, I think, and I remember.
Yeah, I was staying at yours when I heard it.
Yeah, and I remember you sat on the steps frantically writing notes for the set, because the set was all sort of blended into one, wasn't it? Like a
lots of medleys, lots of transitions.
This is more memorable, definitely.
Yeah. But yeah, so then we happened to be in Leeds interviewing with BBC Introducing up there.
Yeah.
And then, because I didn't want to cancel that, it worked out that Quo organised a car from the BBC building to a helicopter pad in Leeds, I think it was.
Yeah.
And then helicopter over the Lake District, landed literally within half an hour.
On the golf course.
Handed a Heineken beer, remember that
and
well.
And a banana.
And a guitar. Yeah, and a banana. The classic combo.
How many hands have you got?
Yeah. I remember he would say straight on stage, no sound check, a guitar he'd never played before, no monitor check, and he really did amazingly, I've got to say. And I said to him, hey, in the drum set, how are you getting on? He said, a beat at a time.
That was such a daunting experience, actually.
That was brilliant, yeah.
So much pressure. But
because it was, there'd been a lot of flooding in Cumbria, and this was a charity do to help the victims of the flooding. And it was a very bad pun, dad pun. But of course, if we hadn't been able to do it, courtesy of Freddie, they would have gone under.
Didn't you get a tattoo as well?
Yeah, I've got 22 here. That was for the amount of songs we played during that little tour, or the tour that I was playing in.
22 songs or gigs?
Yeah, songs.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. No, that was the one, though, definitely. I was very... I always say that I'm very pleased for my kids, because it's always from their endeavours, but I was very proud of him that day. Very proud of what he achieved.
They don't get much better than that, does it?
Yeah. It made up for the Snowden thing, didn't it?
Yeah.
So the beauty of live gigs is that not everything always goes according to plan. What is the worst thing that to happen on stage? What's the biggest nightmare that's happened on stage? You mentioned having a fight, but yeah.
Oh yeah, no, it wasn't a nightmare. I like that. And, I mean, I don't like fighting, but as far as I'm concerned, funnily enough, especially in Dexter's Midnight Runners, which I was in the 80s. That was really so full of attitude, that band. You know, it was really, you know, you went on there and it was really intense. And that's why I punched the bloke, because it was so, you know, it was just full on, you know what it's like, you're pumped up, you're full of adrenaline. But worst, I have to say, I've never really, what have I had bad experience? I've been egged on stage.
Oh, really?
That was me.
Where did it hit you, like in the face or...?
No, on the head. I was egged on my head by these two girls.
Can
who
I
came
just say
up.
That my dad's been egged a lot of times, because I know of two other eggings.
I wasn't so as pissed off about being egged as the fact that it went all over my Rickenbacker bass. I was so pissed off about it. I was more livid about that. You just learn to roll with it when shit happens on stage. I mean, the worst thing I'd thrown at me was a petrol can. I know. And it hit me on the shin front. And we were playing in Belgium, and all of a sudden this petrol can came through the air and hit me on the chin. Like, oh, I've had a pair of men's pants thrown at me before at Reading Festival.
People sort of just say,
standing there with the thing, giving you the finger like that, you know, all night long. You know, that's... What I find really weird...
Why would someone do that? Why would someone pay money?
When I joined Status Quo, I mean, I looked like such a twat compared to how I was expected to by the fans, but the idea was to reinvent the band.
Right.
And I can understand why people just hated what I did. You know, I had short hair. I had a headless bass. In fact, I looked like a headless chicken as well. So, but there you go. I sort of grown into it, really. Yeah.
I heard through the grapevine that you took a fall right before getting on stage at a gig.
In Leeds.
In Leeds?
Yeah.
What happened, John?
Well, I'll tell you now. No, backstage they have what's called a multicore, which is for the benefit of people who don't know that. There's a cable that goes from a box on the stage to the mixing desk, so the microphones are able to be operated. And it's under the floor, and they hadn't put they'd left the cover open, and they hadn't put the sign up to say anything. So we're hovering around backstage, and all of a sudden I'm
sort 6 of down, feet under.
Yeah, I'm 18 inches shorter with blood pumping out of me out of my leg.
Jeez.
And the immortal quote from Rick Parfitt, I'm lying there like, oh shit, Caney, you know. Right, Paul, the tour's off, get me a cigarette. And he walked off, and I said, no, we'll do it. And so they bandaged me up, I did the gig, which was great, because my foot after about four songs was covered in blood. We had white trainers on, so it was well hard. And and I'd cut my hand as well, as Rick pointed out, he said, if only you'd had a white guitar, because my guitar is blood red, so that was disappointing. But I went straight to the hospital afterwards and got a load of stitches in my leg.
Goodness me, that's intense.
Goodness
not what
me,
you need.
Absolutely.
That's that's rock and roll for you.
I think
it
so.
It is rock and roll, that.
Okay, so do you recall what you did on September the 21st, 1991?
putting you on the spot.
Rock to Your Drop.
Hey, well done. Day before my birthday, which you weren't there for. But tell us about Rock to Your Drop.
Let's just have a moment. Oh, just a
little dig.
I thought it was going to be a piece of cake. I really did.
So what was it for those that don't know?
I don't know what it is.
Rock to Your Drop. We put out an album called Rock to Your Drop, and it was our manager's at the time's idea that we should do 4 gigs in 12 hours around the country. So we started off in London, and we left from the BBC Television Centre. It was, I think there was a programme called Swap Shop or something like that, I don't know. We left from there.
Are you getting helicopters about?
Yeah, we went from there to a helipad, and we played Birmingham, Glasgow, Sheffield, and then we got a yacht. We got a jet to London to play at Wembley. And apparently they were going to do that. There's a programme again that you guys might not have heard of called This Is Your Life.
Yeah.
Where they and I tell you, by the end of the last song, none of us could hardly stand up. We thought it was going to be... I really thought 4 hours of gigs, it's no problem, but it was really, really hectic. I mean, it really did go by in a blur, and that's not something that's common. I try to make time during the day to do stuff. But, that was crazy.
And that was the Guinness World Record, wasn't it? I think it might have been broken since.
Really?
Potentially.
I think Richard Marx did something, didn't he?
Was it Tom Grennan, we thought?
Someone did something. We should fact check.
Yeah, we'll fact check. We'll edit that in.
Yeah.
If it's... all you've got to do is show me that, I'll punch him.
So, before Status Quo, you played for some amazing artists, which I know you've already mentioned, including Dexys Midnight Runners, Peter Green, Fleetwood Mac, and Kim Wilde, to name a few. Could you tell us a bit about your time with some of those artists? Do any memories spring to mind?
You missed one, which was a girl called Judy Zook, which was my... I've been a pro, kind of, since about 1976, 1975. But it was. I mean, I was just scraping around doing gigs. You know, it was okay. I was making a living.
Yeah.
And I went to a party and I met this guy Mike Paxman, who I'd met before, and they just got the money that day from Rocket Records for Judy's a budget to form a band. And we were both the worse for wear. And he said, if you can remember my phone number, call me tomorrow and the gig's yours. And for some reason, I'm really good with phone numbers.
Do you remember the whole number?
9405169 was his number. It was only 7 numbers in those days. And I found him out next morning and said, hey, how you doing? And I had to do a kind of audition. But and that was that, you know. And that was, I did 6 years on and off with Judy, during which we supported Elton John on his American tour, and that was the biggest gig I've ever done. We did a gig in Central Park in New York with him, and they reckon there were 400,000 people there. That was a big one.
Goodness me.
That's so crazy.
My one claim to fame is that afterwards there was a party on the boat, and Andy Warhol was at the party. And you've never seen anyone of a colour like that before. And I'm just sitting there talking to someone. All of a sudden, this voice is in my ear. Andy loves your shoes. And I had these shoes that were made out of glitter that I bought, you know, because it's just back in there. I mean, I always liked quite loud footwear and socks and stuff. I used to wear odd socks for some reason. Luminescent socks. I was always known as John Edwards. But I looked over at Andy Warhol, and I just got a slight inclination of the head, like a slight nod. Oh, I'm impressed. I should have given him the shoes, really, shouldn't I? You know.
So I punched him.
Well, you know, he did look at me funny. You know. Yeah. All the gigs I've done have been, all the bands I've been with have mainly been as a result of just meeting other people on gigs I've been doing.
Yeah.
And networking. You know. I mean, I've really worked hard. You make your own. I got one gig. I hate to use the word job. I've got one gig, a band called the Climax Blues Band. I got that through an advert and Melody Maker. But Kim Wilde, it was great. I went to the audition, and I knew her bass player, the guy who was, he was leaving to join the Thompson Twins, I think, and he was there at the audition because they were doing rhythm section. So if they had a drummer coming along, he played. And hello, Mark, how you doing? You know, okay, John, nice to see you. He said, right, they're going to give you this bit they think's really difficult. He said, it's this. And he showed me it, you know.
Oh, that's cool.
So they got this song called, I think it was called Love Cats or something. And you know, her brother Ricky, Kim's brother, lovely bloke. You can, so, yeah, you know, do you think you can, you know, this bit here, you know, it's a bit, little bit weird, you know. Can you do that? And I went, what, that? Oh, wow, yeah. When she said to me, when Kim said to me, would you dye your hair black? I said, yeah, no problem. I knew I'd got the gig. And I got a phone call the next morning, and I'd gone in with the drummer from who ended up with Status Quo and me, Jeff. They said as soon as he walked in, he hadn't got it, because he was a bit, he's not the tallest person you'll ever meet. But anyway, they said, would you get your hair dyed black? So yeah, no problem. So I went along to see their hairdresser, got my hair dyed black. Bowl up the first day of rehearsals. No one else had done it except me. I mean, I made Keith Richards look healthy, and that was in one of his bad phases. You can see me on Top of the Pops on YouTube. There's a song called Rage to Love.
Okay.
And I do look more dead than alive.
So some of our favourite tour stories and memories have been on our days off. Travel days stuck in the middle of nowhere, and we're starting to compile a list from our previous guests of places that we're going to check out. Is there any particular day off that comes to mind as the greatest travel day of all time?
There's so many. I mean, except in Sweden. I've got to say, Sweden is not a good place to have a day off. And I've been sorry, Sweden. You know,
Sweden.
But no, I mean, I've had days off in January in the north of Sweden, in places like Umeå or Luleå, and it's light for 3 hours.
Yeah.
You know, the beer's £28 a pint, you know, or it's not, but I mean, it's ridiculous money. And you can get a bit down on those tours, I think. That's about the only thing. I mean, I'm not a big... It's amazing in the summer and crap in the winter in Sweden for me.
Yeah.
Except for Gothenburg, which is one of my... Gothenburg, there's a place I'd recommend for a day off.
You're winning back the Swedes.
Yeah, he's digging
out of
the hole.
Only in Gothenburg.
Swedes, if you're still
Gothenburg
listening.
Is a rocket. Gothenburg is a proper rock town.
I've never been to Sweden. It's really good.
It's got a great fun fair. Yeah, great Tivoli. We've had a couple of good days off together.
I was about to talk about one, which is when we went to go and see, not Andy Warhol, but Dandy Warhols.
Oh, my God.
Do you want to tell us what happened?
Was it Harlem?
I think so, yeah.
Well, I remember I was doing Movember.
Oh, we both were.
And neither of us can grab moustache. Well, he's better than I. Mean, I just looked like I hadn't shaved for about a week, you know, if that, about for 3 days. But that, I think that was possibly the worst band I've ever seen, the Dandy Warhols.
Why so? That wasn't the story I had in mind.
No, but either them or the Scorpions, definitely one of the two.
He's not holding back.
We don't even got to the beef section yet.
Yeah, no. But anyway, we just ended up. We got to the venue and the restaurant was shut, so you can guess where this is heading. And I got absolutely paralytic. I mean, and I don't do a good hangover. And Freddie was just out on tour with me. We were just out together. And the next day, I remember being at. Like, we went out to lunch. And I had to just run out of this restaurant to be sick.
We had steaks that just arrived at the table, unannounced. He just gets up and storms out into this like little town square. And he's just gone for the rest of the meal. I sat there on my own.
And then we did the gig, and I mean, it was lucky. I think, did I make you stand by the stage?
I think so, yeah.
I've done it a couple of times. I did one in Valencia. We played at a Bullring, and I made our merchandiser, Mike, stand at the side of the stage because I actually thought I was going to die. It was so unbelievable. I mean, it's not the most professional, but, you know, that's what you do. Yeah, we'd been in Portugal the night before, I remember, and I just got so shit-faced. But, you know, which is at the time was fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, I love you, you're great. Fucking love you, you know. And then the next day... dreadful, but
I was just going to ask about Rhino. I feel like all these years I've never really known how the nickname came about. And I think you should let us all know.
All these years, I'm not going to tell you.
Thank you.
It's all right.
All right, moving on.
Moving on. A mystery unknown.
Austin Powers of Rock. No, it's you know. I think some people used to think I must have had a bit, really big Ampson or something, but I haven't.
Ampson
Wick Dick. This is the job. I'm talking to my son here.
Well, I've seen Arkenbauer.
Yeah,
no, it's not. Sorry, this is outrageous.
I know.
I am not editing that out.
I'm really into the bass player from Earth, Wind & Fire, Vadim White. And he used to do all these slides on his guitar, like, and I used to do them quite a lot. And one of the guys in Judy's Hook's band said that it sounded like a rhino.
Is and that honestly where it came from?
Yeah, started calling me rhino. So I want you to edit that bit out.
Stay in.
Stay in.
No, it's had a few comments over the world. Oh, I just thought of a very funny story, actually, with Rick Parfitt. Kind of things like that. We were doing a radio show in France, and I speak quite good French. I was in the band, but it was early days, and Rick got paralytic, and we were in this really posh French restaurant, and you could see the head waiter, the maitre d' was really getting the ape with him, you know, and we still wanted to stay in there. And he said, no, I say, I'm sorry. So I said, I just say, feel my own people. And the guy came over and he's gone, Monsieur, fill my own people. And the guy's gone absolutely ballistic and stormed off. And he said, what did you tell me to say? I said, I'll give us a blowjob. And I think that's one of the things that got me in the band, you know, is like we shared the same humour. And you have to say, Rick, he took things like that brilliantly. Aww. He really did. We said we made up this entire. There was a girl who used to send Rick letters, and she Claudia, and she used to wear a pink bodice, and she used to send these letters and sign them pink bodice. And the tour manager thought it would be a good idea that if we wrote the letters instead. So all of a sudden, Rick's getting these letters, you know. I will do anything you want. You know, you're at the golden shower, no problem, you know. And all that. So she's at all the gigs and Rick's... And we would give him these letters, right? And he'd get the letter and you'd see him put it in his jacket pocket and go off and read it. And she'd be in front of me at the gig and he'd be going, give it all, And she didn't have a clue. And anyway, at the end of it, we said, no, tonight, Rick... To the Rick, my love, I sacrifice my pet rabbit on the altar of Tharg for you. I love you so much. It's been a right river in Reed, signed the band.
Oh. Right, so we're now on to my personal favourite section of the interview.
I'm worried. Yeah,
this is the beef section. So we've heard stories about you punching people and knocking a couple
only
of people
one.
Flat.
Come on.
Have you ever had any beef with another artist?
Oh my gosh. There's some bands I don't like, there's some bands that I don't like to work with particularly, which is fine because we probably never will again. I think the Scorpions are just not a good band, full stop, for me. In fact, well, I tell you what, we did a gig with them, right? We did a gig. And
it's some juicy beef right now.
No, it was so stupid.
It's a sirloin.
We were playing in Switzerland at a football ground with them. We were supporting them. And we support them. You know, they're bigger than us. That's the way it is. But they went... Basically, the dressing room was at one end of the stadium and the stage was at the other. And the punters couldn't see it, but the Scorpions had six limos, one for each of them and one for their manager, to take them round to the side of the stage. I just said, you dicks. You did, you know. Why do you want to do that? You know, oh, yeah, I'm so rock and roll, man. You know, sorry. I just think it's stupid. And just because you can, why should you?
Yeah. Do they know you feel that way?
I don't care.
They will now.
Not really. There's some bands that I really like. Some bands I really love to work with a band called Uriah Heep.
This is Strictly Beef.
Oh, Strictly Beef. Okay, no, we've got a love him with him. I was at the drummer's wedding the other week.
Hello. Oh, he's kicking off.
Steady on.
Pissed again.
We're on our second shandy now, by the way. So, what is the best advice that you've been given? And if you could relay that piece of advice to an up-and-coming artist or musician, what would it be? Or what would you give 13-year-old John Edwards?
I don't think I've ever been given any advice. fuck off. Yes, I can. I can tell you exactly, and it involves swearing as well, which is something that RPA said to me about 15 years ago. She said, Rhino, I don't mind being told to fuck off. And that is one piece of advice I would give somebody. Be prepared to be told to fuck off. and it separates the wheat from the chaff. I mean, I was talking to someone today whose daughter narrowly missed out on getting a gig on Game of Thrones, and it really shattered her confidence. You know, you're gonna get knockbacks. You're gonna get things. You know, just depends how much you want it. You've got to believe, and if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But what you mustn't do is turn around and think that it didn't happen for me because I didn't try hard enough. I think.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, no. Absolutely.
But yeah, you've got to be prepared to be told to fuck off. So that's all I
think. There
I
are two other pieces of advice, or kind of not cliches, but things that I've heard you say, which I think are really good.
One I said this morning.
Yeah, that. If you can repeat that, because I'm going to fumble it.
Yeah, which well, was I said, what? I said, what do you want? 10% of something, or 100% of fuck all?
Yeah. Which is gold. And the second one is
gold.
It's golden. I like it.
Well, it's true. You know, I mean, the thing is, people, you're going to get ripped off in the music business, and you know, and anybody who thinks they're not going to get ripped off is a knob.
And we'll finish number there. Two. Yeah,
sorry, not a knob, but you know, I think
it's in denial. Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of sharks out there, and I mean, you know, I've been royally ripped off by people before, but you just got to get on with it. You know.
The second thing is, when you say you shouldn't count on something happening until you're sat on the plane going to that thing.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. You repeated that when...
We use that all the time.
Yeah, it's
not happening unless you're sat on the plane.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's like, are we going to LA in November? It's like, no, we're not going to LA in November. We're not going to LA in November until it's November. Yeah. And then we're going to LA. It's like, oh, great, we're going, you know. Because the amount of times when things have... put in the calendar and it's like,
I still get disappointments now. I mean, you know, I've apart from the fact I had to cancel my Rana's Revenge tour because I got COVID, that was a disappointment. But I mean, you know, even with Quo, we still get disappointments. You know, we think that something might happen and it doesn't. You know, you might not get the big TV show you wanted, you know, because something else has happened, you know, or someone else bigger than you has got in. But So you've just got to roll with it. The punches, man.
Yeah. Yep. Roll with the punches that you're throwing.
it's just the joke that keeps on giving. Yeah.
Keeps on giving.
I've got a violent dad.
Who said that?
Well, you know what? I feel like we've heard a good few stories about some fans giving you things, letters and all sorts.
I will say one thing before. You will never get better fans than State Square fans. They are the best by a country mile. They put up with a lot from us. We've made a couple of some records that haven't really
They put up with me. Me.
Yeah.
On a tour which was called Accept No Substitutes.
I never knew that.
It was so ironic. I was accepted, they went against that. So perhaps we should move on to the quick fire. What do you think?
Yeah, let's go. Let's go for the quick fire round. So basically,
quick fire round. What's the prize?
Yeah. So what happens is where it's the first thing that comes to mind. It can either be just one word, and you can leave it at that, or you can basically dwell on that.
You can ponder.
So, the first one up, when we say double denim, you say?
No. It used to be, not anymore. Although one of my sons does double denim from time to time.
Double denim. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, doing you proud. Okay, when we say the white bear, what comes to mind?
Hounslow. It's a pub in Hounslow that I used to play
at. Any memories?
Yeah, that's funny enough. That's where I met Mike Paxman used to come and, who's Judy Zook's partner, who's my best friend, who produces all my Rhino's Revenge stuff. He used to come and see me playing in a band called the Sunday Band in the White Bear in Hounslow, and that's how he realised how amazing I was. And I'm the best John Edwards type bass player there's ever been.
Okay, when I say the Scorpions, you say.
No, I mean, it sounds terrible, but no, it doesn't.
When I say Griffin Park.
I'm bursting into tears here. I miss it. I drove past the other day and it's still not knocked down yet.
Are they building like flats or what are they doing?
They're going to, it's probably worth £1 trillion. I mean, it's prime real estate, you know.
For those that don't know, Griffin Park
is home of the world famous Brentford FC. And if you haven't heard of the world famous Brentford FC, it's the world famous Brentford FC. And they've got a new stadium around the corner, and I've supported them since 1962. And my season ticket is £339.
Is it? That's good. That's nice.
For Premier League football.
Would I say like a fine wine from Bordeaux?
Brentford FC, Lloyd Owusu. Yeah, it's a song I wrote about a Brentford footballer, and it does have a chorus which you say it's very unfootball-like. It's a Owusu, Owusu. You know, that's what I say. I mean, a wuss. But he's a nice guy. He's a really nice bloke. I speak to him often. He lives in Australia. Brentford legend.
Okay, nice.
There we go. When I say status, you say
bases. Best bases in the world by none. I've got one that I don't use with status quo, which is just I could sell all my bases. Funny enough, ladies and gentlemen, I've got a lot of bases up for sale at the moment, which is why I'm doing this podcast. Check out the Base Gallery for details in London, basegallery.co.uk.
/Rhino/Mark.
Yeah, status bases. I've got one base, a black status base that I could get rid of every other base and I would use that. And I think they're the best bases there's ever been. So there.
I thought you were going to say quo.
No.
It's a trick question.
Well, funny enough, the first interview I ever did, I was the status of quo. It was for Guitarist magazine. And that was my first ever interview after I was in quo.
Good on you.
Yeah, good on you, geezer. Good on you, mate.
And then finally, the last question, the last quick fire round. When we say John Edwards, you say
twat.
Nice.
Happy. I'm happily married, twat with three lovely kids. That's all I want.
Okay. Hey. There we go. Great. Well, thank you so much for agreeing to do this.
No problem. By the way, I also have to say that I love your band.
No, oh, thank you.
I really do. No shit. You know,
I think we've seen you at a lot of shows.
And I love the second album, the support. You know, and I really hope it's going to take the world by storm, because it ought to, because it's well good enough to.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. That's all right. Where's my 20 quid?
Yeah, no, I'll tell you.
No, really, I'm in it. I'm with you all every step of the way.
Love it.
Cheers, everybody.
Bye.
Huge thanks to Rhino for being part of the podcast today and for raising Freddie so well. Also, we couldn't do this podcast without you guys listening, so a huge thanks to you for being part of the Floors family.
And if you do like what you hear and you haven't already, please make sure you like, comment and subscribe, because it really does make a lot of difference to us, especially now as we're just starting out.
Join us next time on...